It's a great privilege to read that. We already looked at something very beautiful this morning from Psalms 18, which said, "Is the Lord God is our rock." And I'm especially interested in the other bit, that it was also the strength. And we all need that strength. There are multiple ways you can interpret strength. You can interpret strength in a way that is physical, and we all need that too, no doubt about that. You know, we all get up and take it for granted, all the physical strength that we have. But this strength is also at another level. It's at a spiritual level. It is at a level that is fighting battles on our behalf, that has already fought a massive battle on our behalf, and continues to fight battles at heavenly places, and continue to fight for men and women of God all throughout ages up until this 21st century. And this reading that we're going to look at again this morning is an old prophet we looked at. You know, it's a last time, you know, when I came up and I was looking at this prophet Habakkuk, and that prophet Habakkuk is a minor prophet, and you know, looking at that prophet's struggles. It was a very unique prophet. It was not the typical prophets who had something to tell God or who had something to take from God and give it to the people. This was unique in a way. He actually had questions to God when he saw the surroundings of his time. Quite old. Historically, this is quite old. This is not. This is approximately 2,600 years. This is the time of the kings, and there was an immediate catastrophe that was going to come onto the land, and that was in Habakkuk's heart, and Habakkuk was asking questions where he didn't find the answers for. And when he asked those questions, he did not get an expected answer. You know, if you turn with me to Habakkuk, I'm just going to reiterate a couple of things that we already looked at. It's only three chapters. It's beautiful. So we can't look at all three chapters today, but we'll look at three verses today. How about that? You know, just three verses. But that's very important verses. I couldn't gloss over them. I had to, because it speaks to me. It continues to speak to many people. And those three verses are very important. But before we look at those three verses, we will look at the two questions that Habakkuk asked the Lord. The first question that he asked in chapter 1 was in verse 2, "O Lord, how long shall I cry and you will not hear? Even cry out to you violence and you will not save. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contention arises. Therefore the law is powerless and justice never goeth forth. For the wickedness surround the righteous. Therefore, perverse judgment proceeds." There was violence. There was strife. There was disregard for the law. There was exploitation that was happening. There was misuse of power. There was judgment that was perverse. This is the time that Habakkuk lived. Is it any different now? Is it any different now? You know, we like each other here. We are in the company of believers here. It is still the same times. I often don't understand how nations collaborate with nations to bring together an eternal purpose that the Lord, we might look at it as that there is lots of evil going on in this world. But the Lord has let it happen. He's not the cause of these evils. But he is aware of them. And he is aware of them. That doesn't mean he is going to be silent. Here, Habakkuk was actually wrestling with God, with the problems of this world, or that world, or the times that he used to live in. You know, there, we looked at the kings. We read, I think, last time. We wouldn't read it again. It was a wicked king that was ruling. His name was Jehoiakim at that time. He was just after the reigns of Josiah. And just around that time, all of these things were happening, you know, violence and people killing each other, not tolerating, executing their own things. And it's not different. You look at the news, you just look at, you know, I'm amused at, you know, the amount of evil around when you look at the news, what's going on. You know, people are pulling people into a position where we can't even explain, you know, why these things are happening. Recently, I'm not sure if you guys are tracking, you know, I was looking at this reporter. This just makes much, I can relate to the crowd in Saudi Arabia because I lived there for a while. And I'm not surprised by the attitude of these people who are in power over there. But I'm surprised by the nations who can't do much. The nations who are supposed to bring peace, are supposed to be, I'm not saying as a moral police around the world, but they can't do much when they, these kings of Saudi Arabia, if you speak against the king or if you write anything against the king, the things that they go to, the extent that they go to just shut people's mouth up. Again, if you're not privileged to, you know, read all of these news and don't get the time, there was this reporter who was, you know, I was just looking at the news, you know, quite often. I don't know how many of you have heard of this. There is, well, I forgot his name, it's a quite complex name. Khashoggi, was it? Khashoggi. I was just like, the way they executed murder on him, his body even is not visible. His body is not visible because it is alleged that the people who cut his body into parts, and we don't want to go into the details of that, they dissolved his body in acid because now they can't find it. They didn't want to live a single trace. And this man who came in to get into an embassy in another country, in Turkey, and he was going to get married to his fiancée, and he was having some official paperwork that he had to do. But this nation, this place, you know, there's so many people who wanted to shut this whole story down because of he raised his thing up. And the way they executed that was enormous. So the point of telling that is when we look around this world, there is lots of evil. There is evil everywhere. Habakkuk had similar evil at that time going on. We see that he said, the law is powerless and justice never goeth forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, therefore perverse judgment proceeds. He goes on, and the Lord's answer was, well, wait, I'm going to fix this problem. I'm going to send the Babylonians to come and attack his own people. That was not what Habakkuk expected. But he had to ask another question to the Lord. In verse 12, are you not from everlasting? O Lord, my God, my Holy One, we shall not die. O Lord, you have appointed them for judgment. O rock, you have marked them for correction. He goes on all the way till the end. And the final verse he says is, shall they therefore empty their net and continue to slay nations? And the whole chapter 2, we looked at parts of that chapter 2 last time, was the answer to his questions. So that's why this prophet is called embraced by God. He did not, you know, fob Habakkuk off by asking questions. He did not give him the answers that he expected. But when he got the answers, you know, his response, Habakkuk was quite humbled. He went into prayer, he went into worship, and then he says many things, and we read these verses last time, and that verse should continue to inspire us for a long period of time. And that verse was in chapter 2, verse 20. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. God is aware of everything. You know, it could be something that is happening in our own lives. It could be something very personal. We might think, why? But God is aware of everything. He knows everything that is going, just or unjust. He knows everything. And that was what he told Habakkuk. And then Habakkuk goes into prayer mode after that and finally finishes off with these three beautiful verses, which is the main subject this morning. Verse 17, 18, and 19. Let us all read together verse 17. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. We'll stop there. What is all of this? Very hard to relate, because none of us have fig trees in our home, do we? None of us are going cultivating olives. I don't know if anyone has a vineyard in the back homes, but these are things that significantly matter to that generation. This is the nation of Israel. What are the things? Very clearly, firstly, the failure of the fig tree to blossom. Post that, he says, no, fruit be on the vines. This is the occupational things. This is the element of security back in the day the people had. If you want to compare that to anything that we have this day, what are the things that we own up? What are the things that we work for? What are the things that we think we have some security? It could be relationships. It could be people that we are looking forward to. It could be the things that we spend Monday to Friday on. It could be anything that we are putting, something. A fig tree was supposed to give figs. It is not blossoming anymore. The vineyard was supposed to give fruits. The labor of the olive may fail. What does the olive tree do? Gives oil, gives olives. There's lots of medicinal things and there's lots of applications. So there's even that has been taken off from them. They say if that is the case, this is bringing up the verses being brought up to a point that we can start to imagine what is going on in Habakkuk's mind. And the fields yield no food. Imagine the fields yielding no food in our life today. What does that mean? We're not farmers here. Might be some in some parts of the world. But it almost means like we work Monday to Friday. We work hard. We go up. We expect something in the bank account. Don't we? What? We expect something to come back. Because what we're putting forth too. But this is a similar thing. That was their occupation. Working in the farm. The fields are yielding no food. It's like not being rewarded for what we do. Though the flock may be cut off from the fold. You know, back in the day, the flock was a symbol of wealth. What is our symbol of wealth? You know, we do all have. We like it or not. We like to get some of these things. Flocks were a symbol of wealth. That was also taken off from the fold. And no herd in the stall. This is where, you know, there are no sheep, no goats. Nothing, no milk, no time. The grain is not there on the cultivation. You know, it's almost everything that we all can take security in. It's a matter of security. It's a matter of success. It's a matter of prosperity. So all of these things are taken off. Habakkuk says, because the answer in the previous chapter was about all historically what was done for Israel. That was more around the fact of their journey from Egypt to Israel. You know, the answer to all his problems was, I have brought you out, Habakkuk, and your people throughout all generations from Egypt to Israel. That opened the eyes of Habakkuk. From worry, he went into a mode of prayer and worship because of something that happened in his eyes were opened. He recognized who this Lord is. He recognized the power of this Lord. He recognized that the things, all the things, if it's taken away, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Verse 18 says, I will joy in the God of my salvation. God is aware of everything. God is aware of all the troubles in verse 17. Troubles will continue to abound, continue to come. It might come in different ways. It might come through a persecution. It might come through the rules being changed in this land. It might come through anything. It might come in the place where we have put some trust in, and if that falls off, it can take off. Circumstances can bring trouble. Guess what? If you're, you know, running late to church, guess what? If somebody ahead of you is driving slow, you know, we are all shaken up, right? You know, sometimes, come on. Just small things. Here we're not talking of these small things. We're not talking about having a job or not having a job. We're not talking about things that worries us. This is in a different scale that we haven't experienced. Yet Habakkuk's key to that trouble is one word. He's trusting in the Lord. And one word back in verse 2, one verse says, verse 4 says, "Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him. The just shall live by faith." We know this verse. That was the exact same verse that was applicable to Habakkuk back in that day. Faith. What does faith mean? It means a lot. It means simply, in very simple terms, without going through an explanation, official Christian explanation. It just means what? Recognizing the love of God. You haven't heard that explanation before. Faith means recognizing the love of God. Yeah, because if you start to recognize how much He loved me and how much He loved you, if you recognize that word, it will draw attention to Isaiah 53, one verse, first part of the verse. Turn with me, Isaiah 53. You know this. We will all say this together. Recognition of this word is faith. Verse 10 says, let's read it together. Let's read the whole verse together. "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." That verse, that little verse, "yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him." Who is he? This is our King. "Yet it pleased the Lord to crush him. Yet it pleased the Lord to put him to grief." Recognition of that love helps us to elevate our problems to what God is doing in our own lives. No matter what the problem is, the gradient of the problem, it all comes back into this verse that we can take away today. "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord." You know, and the face of an anger, at the face of frustration, at the face of injustice, at the face of something that we can't bear, at the face of something we think we are right, we can say, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord." How? By recognizing, "Yet it pleased him to be crushed." It pleased the Lord to crush him. This is an ancient word. This is something that Isaiah knew. This is something that Job knew. This is something that Ezekiel knew when he faced a certain situation in his life. Turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 24. And this is, again, a very interesting situation. But turn with me. Ezekiel chapter 24. We'll see what was handed out as a prophecy and what was expected from a reaction to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 24, verse 15 says, "Also the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, behold, I take away from you the desire of your eyes with one stroke. Yet you shall neither mourn nor weep, nor shall your tears run down. Sigh in silence, make no mourning for the dead, bind your turban on your head and put your sandals on your feet and do not cover your lips and do not eat man's bread of sorrow. So I spoke to the people in the morning, and at evening my wife died. And the next morning I did as I was commanded. Where did he get the strength from, Ezekiel? He was looking forward. He recognized who is talking to him. He thought above and beyond the circumstances. He was probably in his spirit saying, this is what the Lord has given to me. He has taken it away. If he had an adverse reaction, still he has all the rights. But he did exactly what was commanded. You know, in a stroke, his beloved was taken away. And he was asked not to mourn. Sounds like a big injustice, right? He was asked to go ahead and do what I've told you to do, Ezekiel. Job, same things. Same things. It's not different. The gravity might decrease or increase, but we all will have to go through something at some stage because we have to pass the test of faith. The test of faith will prove whether we have recognized, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. The test of faith is going to be when you are right, but yet you are being persecuted. Is that a common thing? It is a common thing in many parts of the world. If you are for the Lord, you belong to the Lord, you will be persecuted. I recently was looking at some logistics, and I looked at a place called St. Pancras. Has anyone heard of that place? Pancras? It's a railway station in England. And I said, why do you name a railway station after Pancras? But I went and Googled and found out that this boy, Pancras, and this is how its story goes. Where did the story go? Okay. Anyway, he was a 15-year-old boy from Rome who accepted Christ. And once he accepted Christ, the Roman emperors said, "You have a choice to renounce this thing." And 15-year-old boy did not choose to renounce his Christian faith, and he was beheaded. And on behalf of that, there is a St. Pancras station in the UK. I've never heard of this story before, and that's why that person exists. The name exists so that we can take inspiration of how critical is this word faith, because faith would mean simple to recognize how much did our Christ love us. Faith would mean that verse, yet it pleased him to crush him. What for? For us. If there is anything that is going wrong in our life, we can draw inspiration and still rejoice in this magnificent treasure. What is the treasure? I will joy in the God of my salvation. Is that a treasure? This is a question to me. This is not a question of preaching. This is a question to me. Joy in the God of my salvation. Rejoicing in the Lord. It's beautiful. Joy. That word joy, peace, hope. We will see quite a lot as we walk into supermarkets during Christmas, being used around. We are now going to get into a mode of being an ambassador. Regardless of what's going on, we can walk away saying, yet I will rejoice in that God. That joy is something that will identify Christ's joy when he went to the cross. That will give us that opportunity to triumph. And how do you triumph? So firstly, there was a T involved. The first verse 17 that we read was trouble. Tons of troubles in this world. Doesn't matter what those troubles are. We just need to look at the treasure, which is the next verse. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. But it needs to be a treasure. Otherwise, we can't use it. We have no opportunity to use that treasure until we recognize that word, yet it pleased the Lord to crush him. But we have been using this treasure this morning while we worship him. Otherwise, we can't. We can't worship him. Because what's the point, we would think? Why do we come here? Because we want to worship him. We want to hear from his word. We do not care who is standing, what imperfections we have in whatever we do. We do not. Because we look straight to the bottom of that word and it pleases us to hear this word. It doesn't please us to sit at home in our gardening Sunday morning, having lawn mowing and things like that. While I was driving away and I was getting delayed, I saw my neighbor polishing his car this morning, and he was lawn mowing, and his lawn is super perfect with completely everything. And I'm thinking, man, he's got so much time and I have no time to do anything. And that is my trouble. I have no time to do anything. And I'm struggling. And then I'm thinking, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, Matthew. You will have no time to do anything, yet you will have to rejoice. So that's the point. I have to recognize that treasure that is there with me. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 says something like this. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. We've heard this before. Yep, that makes sense. Yep, we all know that. Let's brush over it. Yeah, whatever. Have you heard that before? But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where there's thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That's how Habakkuk could say, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Why? Because he didn't have any treasures in earth, probably. He recognized that. Ezekiel, Job said, my God has given and he has taken. What is he going to take from us? We do not know. Do we? What is he going to take from us? And what will upset us? That's a question to ask. Is there anything that he will take from us this morning that we can think, yeah, that should be fine? We like to get, and if you want to give it back, or when it's taken away, we just have to look at kids. We're not any different adults. If it's taken back, we still need to say, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Very hard statement this is. This is not easily executable, but it is possible. It's not impossible. The way it is possible is by the recognition of the treasure in heaven that we have. The way it is possible, it is to say that yet not my will, but his will be done. Who said that? Our Lord said that. When he sweat blood drops, he was in agony. That is my treasure, the Lord, the God of my salvation. A lot to think, a lot to hold on week by week. Week by week, if we can hold on to that word which says that, verse 19. Look at that verse 19. What does it say? The same thing that we looked at this morning. Guess what? The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high hills. The troubles that Habakkuk had when he recognized the treasure that he had in himself turned into a triumphant situation. And that is a triumphant situation Habakkuk led as an example. And that's exactly what we need to do. I need to do. This is not preaching. This is talking to myself. He's my strength. Where did I draw my strength from when all things under my hunky-dory life is broken, is irritated, is shaken, is unmanageable, I'm throwing the wits. I need to draw that strength, yet God is my strength. What does it mean? He will make my feet like deer's feet. Have you seen deer's feet recently? No, it's not the literal deer's feet, is it? What does it signify, deer's feet? What is deer capable to? Run fast, is it? Run fast. From where? Trouble. From the enemy. That's what it is. We need to be running fast from the enemy. And what does the enemy bring us into? Troubles. But none of those troubles matter, does it? It does matter to us. That's why we have a lack of recognition of what's going on. I have a lack of recognition of what's going on. Ones with children, young children. Now you can relate to that. You know, if you have two kishore, you will see how the difference multiplies. If you have three, you would know what's going on, right? Now, four and five, you don't have any examples here. But they're all just testing us. Is this all just to test us? Do we have bosses who are good? No. Do we have bosses who are bad? Do we have issues with people? Oh, yeah. The list is big, enormous list of things that doesn't work in the way the Lord wants. But in Habakkuk's case, when Habakkuk made these questions to God, who changed? Did God change his plan and said, Habakkuk, I have a brilliant idea because you've prayed. I'm going to fix all this problem in Babylon. Who changed? When Habakkuk recognized who the Lord is, when Habakkuk understood as a prophet his place, when Habakkuk understood the treasure that he has in God of his salvation, he changed. How did he change? In verse 3, he started off the first verse, a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet of Shigionoth. Prayer and praise. Worry was changed into worship. He troubles translated into triumphant deer-like feet. Beautiful feet to run away from the enemy. God became his treasure. James chapter 1. Turn with me. Verse 2 to 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Oh, I have lots of problem with that, and I'm sure most of us have. That's not bad. That's not bad, because we are still fallen. We still have, you know, capabilities. But this is a testing process. How can you react in a situation that says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord? Keep on saying that word. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Oh, all right, you can put more dust on me. Oh yeah, put some more mud on me. Yeah, that's good. Very good. Keep it coming. That's how Jesus could say that. Because he was following his Father's will. Yet not my will, but his will. very important to triumph over trouble, because we are going to read a few verses that will give us more things to think about. Romans 8. You know this verse, but in the context of what we're looking at from Habakkuk's life, Romans 8, verse 32, I'm going to read. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Question mark. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? This is not only the blessings. He's making something beautiful out of us. People who have been picked up from the dust have been transformed to sit in heavenly places, to be the torchbearer of somebody who was the eternal king. He's giving us all things. But he did not spare his own son, and he's still giving us much more. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Right. Just because we did something wrong, that doesn't mean he is going to fob us off and ask us to stand outside. He is compassionate. We are only one word away from getting back into the fold. And that word is repent and ask sorry to the dead. The verse that that magnifies is the story of the prodigal son. The father in heaven is like that father. It's not the story of the prodigal son, it's the story of the father of that prodigal son. That is the real story, the heart. You're just one verse away. Coming back, and the father is just going to receive exactly like that father who received that Jewish boy who did not understand what he was doing. He had everything. He decided to walk away and get into the pig hen. But he was only one place away to come back. And that's the story of the Father we have. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen. Who is even at the right hand of God who also makes intercession for us? That's our treasure. That's my treasure. On the right hand of God, the ultimate sinless God has entered, and he has had the triumph, so shall I. And so should we. And if we don't, that doesn't mean he fobs us off. But he gives another opportunity. He'll give more opportunity. Habakkuk got the feet of deer's feet. And he will make me walk on my high hills. Couple of verses from Psalms. Psalms 46, if someone can read verse 1. We know this verse by heart, but I will give it a bit of time to ponder on that verse. Psalms 46, verse 1.
God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Even though the earth be removed and through the mountains we be carried out into the midst of the sea, through its water roar and be troubled, through the mountains shake with the swelling, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is the midst of she shall not be moved.
That's enough, brother. Yeah. Verse, the key verse to take away is a present help in day of trouble. Present. It's not past at the cross. Yes, that's done. And still is going to be present and future as well. Turn with me to another verse, Psalms 40. and verse 2.
He also brought me up out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock and established my steps.
Thank you, brother. That's magnificent. We know this verse. We know this verse for the rock and the steps. But also recognize little thing embedded there. It's not little actually. It's just there's something there that says, what is that little thing that you haven't looked at that verse? Forget about the rock and just keep that aside, rock and the steps. Where did he bring us out of? Horrible pit. That's my version saying like that. Oh, well. He brought us out of a horrible pit. Yes, he did set our feet on the rock. We looked at that. Psalm 18. And he's given us a strength and he's our fortress and so forth. Just because Habakkuk did not get the answer that he wanted, that doesn't mean God was not in control. God was going to punish Babylon in its own way. That Babylon, you know, the nation of Iraq, had its own judgment, you know, coming from the east. It's a different story. Just because Habakkuk did not understand the present circumstance, Habakkuk could not forget what the Lord was doing. The Lord was fixing a nation's problem. And the Lord might be fixing an individual problem in me. But I need to just look at that and say, He brought me out of the horrible pit. And we need to recognize what that pit was. That is the ugliness of sin. That was where I could not recognize what I was doing, where I was going. I had no idea. Why am I here for? All, you know, who are you? Where are you going? And most of us, you know, have similar experiences when we have that conversion and we come into that. We are on fire on that first week, on that first month, that first love. Because we know, we are just immediately recognizing that we've just come out of that horrible pit and just been washed and just been brought, made righteous with a beautiful garment. And that condition doesn't change. That forgetfulness shouldn't change. You know, we continually can remind ourselves that He is there for us. So, I'm going to leave with a couple of questions. Do we have enough to trust in the Lord? Is there enough treasures in heaven for us to think about? My God is my salvation, yet I will rejoice in Him. Do we have enough if our fig trees don't blossom? Do we have enough if there is no grapes in the vineyard? Do we have enough if there is no oil in the olive tree? If there is no grain in the land? Do we have enough? Forget about grain if you don't have any milk, any sheep, you know, sheep in the stalls. Do we have enough? The answer is not no. The answer is yes. Yet it pleased Him to crush His own Son. What for? Because He loves us. He loves us. So where are we going? What are we doing? It's magnificent. In the face of trouble, we can triumph when we trust in that treasure. I'm going to stop with one verse. Philippians chapter 3. We know this too by heart. I don't know if verse 8 was in our memory verse. Was it? Philippians chapter 3 verse 8? No? No, okay. Well, next year, but yet, indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Just slight pause. For the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. All things, everything else doesn't matter. Just pause there. I'm not expounding any more than that. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. You know, that's a personal testimony of a man who is able to say that. That's a personal testimony, again, of Habakkuk. Yet I rejoiced in the Lord. There was a personal testimony for Job. And there are heaps and heaps of personal testimonies of many souls all through the timeline. I count it all lost and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. We need to go back into this week with just this thought. What we've got, Christ, is a massive, unimaginable P&L that nobody could have credited. Accountants know. You know, nobody could have credited. He credited that for us. All things for Christ. So with that, let us rejoice and continue to rejoice. That's what Paul did in many verses. He said the same thing, rejoice. There's a lot to do in the face of all of this. Any trouble, we say, I count it all loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ. Easy said that, done. Everyone in this room is going to have the exact same application. It's not because I'm standing here and saying that I've mastered anything. Nobody has mastered anything. This is the word of God preaching to everyone in the exact same way. So let's close in prayer and we'll have announcements. Loving Father, we thank you for these three beautiful verses in Habakkuk that drives us to another level of a personal gain that we have through this experience that Habakkuk had. Lord, he said, yet I will rejoice. Lord, in the face of all troubles that comes our way, we want to be prepared with this, even though we might not have been in that situation. But if a situation like this comes, Lord, we want to look at you and say, and the same things that you reminded us this morning, that yet it pleased the Lord to crush him. Lord Jesus, it meant a lot for you to go through that pain and suffering so that a sinner like me can be lifted up from that horrible pit. Lord, you wrote my name and a lot of names in this place and all around the world in your eternal book of life. Lord, you have given us such magnificent treasures, unimaginable, which are not going to rust away. It will stay forever. When we see you, we will understand what that means. In part, we understand, but yet, Lord, you have been merciful and compassionate in all our weaknesses. Lord, this morning we thank you once again for being our King and for loving us, and not only loving us, but giving us this Word of God that has been preserved for us so that it will change our lives, influence our thought process, and take us to a level that we can call Abba Father and say, thank you for doing many things for us. Lord, we submit our week again into your hands that we might not forget any of these verses that are precious jewels for us to fight the enemy. Lord, you have strengthened us through the word. You have certainly given us feet like a deer, and so that we can run away from the enemy. But we need to recognize there is an enemy waiting, drawing us into his temptation. So Lord, we thank you once again for this word. In Jesus' name, we have prayed.